Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons on the Score.
As the Las Vegas Raiders welcome their second selection, make a special announcement. As you may know, we are scheduled to host a draft in Vegas this year. And we thank so many for the effort they put forth to prepare that possibility. And we think you deserve another shot. So we're happy here to announce that tonight, the Las Vegas Raiders will host the 2020 NFL Draft.
Nope.
Congratulations to Mark Davis, the Raiders organization, and Raiders Nation. We look forward to being there in Las Vegas, and congratulations. And now,
the McNeil and Parkin Show on 670 The Score.
It was so great. Roger Goodell just, he's so awkward. He's the personification of awkwardness. He announced that Las Vegas would be awarded the 2020 NFL Draft while hosting the 2020 NFL Draft.
Yeah, he had some missteps last night. He needed a co-host. He's not a television host. He's a commissioner, and he had to do a lot last night. That was and he's paid well, so no pity party for Roger Goodell. But that's not what he does, and that's essentially what he was last night. He was a host. He was a television host for 4 hours.
Well, Trey Wingo was hosting, but Roger Goodell was asked to do way too much. Like the booing. Yeah. The
Mac,
booing
like
idea.
Ace Rothstein out there, Mac. Start juggling.
Big glasses.
Oh, the canned booing? No, that was virtual booing.
Yes.
That was horrible. And that was, you know, it was such a failed attempt to show self-deprecating humor. It didn't work at all. And that was 18 minutes into the prelims.
I thought it was natural. I thought he nailed it. Okay, come on, guys. Give it to me more. Yeah, come on.
He had his dog there, too, before the draft, like just for the manipulation. I am a human being. I'm allowing you to boo me. But don't boo me too much. I have a golden retriever. And then, ooh. Can you think of an NFL fan that you relate to less than the people who got dressed up so that they could be in one of the like 16 little digital boxes when their team was on the clock behind Roger Goodell, and then they needed to interact with Roger Goodell for like 4 seconds on a fake FaceTime?
Quick, who's going to represent the Bears tonight?
Bearman.
Oh. Of course, he better be.
Bearman's
there. Or I'm
there.
Boycotting.
Just Bearman and Studzinski.
There you go. There's two.
Grobber.
Yeah. Grobber. Shep. Bart Winkler. Robert Chief. It's perfect.
Myself.
Every time I was looking at those fans behind him, and I think there was like 4x4, and yeah. Roger Goodell's where he was standing was cutting off at least the lower like two. On the left.
Right.
So imagine being those people. Like, hey, when the Saints are on the clock, I'm going to be one of the 16 fans behind Roger Goodell. I got my face paint on. I got my black and gold. And then you're blocked out of the entire thing. Just a display of awkwardness.
What do you suppose the NFL did for those people who volunteered their time to be a part of the feigned booing Bengals Nation? What do you think they did? Give them 20% off in order at NFLProShops.com? What do they do for them?
Yeah, gave them some leftover pink merchandise from Breast Cancer Awareness or some camo from, America Cares or something. It was It was very, very bizarre. Wait, a Peoria match? This can't be true. How about the Chargers not having enough fans to fill up the screen? Is that true? Did that happen?
See, and that's the team we're going to get on half of Hard Knocks this year. They didn't even have enough fans out there to fill a screen of 16.
I assume that's not true, but that's hilarious either way. That's really good. And God, there were so many ridiculous moments. Was that the big board behind John Gruden, like in the camera shot? Did you guys see? It was just like the big whiteboard with all of the names.
Yeah, that's what it was. That's the big board.
It's kind of risky, don't you think, to put it right in the shot of the camera?
Maybe.
Knock on wood if you're with me.
The whole thing was so bizarre.
It wasn't legible, though, was it? I mean, you couldn't read it.
Do you think John Gruden knew that? Like, I don't know. It's HD TV. There's an HD camera technology. I feel like it would be an advantage if you knew that one of your rivals' big boards. It's just, I don't know. Put it off camera like everybody else at those draft parties who weren't practicing social distancing.
Yeah, there was a lot of that last night. And underwear with sweatpants is a good idea for family members, too. There was some of that early last night. Was it Chase Young's little brother who was wearing the sweats commando style?
Was he really?
I think that's who it was. Yes. Somebody.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That little outline?
Yeah. We had some package early. It's like, what? And he's standing around on the phone with a buddy while he's watching the monitor. He's got his little fella looking like he's semi-interested in something.
Your package radar is next level.
Well, it's staring me in the face on a 60-inch television. How can I not look at it?
Humble brag.
It's right there for me. Oh, that's not a brag anymore. Hell.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah. You got a bigger TV than I do. Come on.
No.
You're 70-inch boy.
60 and 50.
I thought you bought a 70.
No, I should have, but.
That was me, guys.
That's right. That's right. Tanny bought the 70 4K.
Black Friday, yep.
Wow. Biggest TV on the show. Chris Tannehill. Comes. How about that? How do you like it, Tanny?
I love it. It's awesome. It's okay, like the family room TV. Go downstairs, watch Disney movies. That's exactly what I bought it.
It is a 4K. Are you getting much in 4K? Not much of it's available without really crazy charges.
I don't even think it's 4K, to be honest with
you. Oh, really?
Yeah, I could be. I don't know. I don't care. It's just a big picture, and it's clear, so I like it.
Okay.
I watched
the
draft on it last night. Yeah, so it was good.
Yeah. Well, the 4K pricing is just absurd. I hope they get serious sometime soon about actually getting people motivated, at least on DirecTV. I don't know what it is on your systems. But it's $24 to watch them, or more, $27 sometimes, to watch a movie in 4K. And these are old movies, too. I mean, you want to watch Wolf of Wall Street in 4K, it's going to look better than it ever did before for you, but it's $27 freaking dollars. No thanks.
Speaking of ordering movies, I feel like what you said last segment necessitated some follow-up, so bad job by me. How do you not own Draft Day?
I do own Draft Day. I've got several copies of
it.
Well, it wasn't on, right? I don't have a DVD player in front of every TV.
Ooh. Oh, so you would have had to move to watch Draft Day.
Yes, I would have had to drag my junky butt downstairs where the DVD player is. There's one.
And that's normally where the town is playing at all times.
That's the town's room. It was on again last night too. By the way, of course, I checked in on the florist. If there's a heaven, son, she ain't in it. How do you walk out of the room when that scene happens to be happening?
It's impossible to, but there was a point last night when you were done watching the draft and you wanted to watch Draft Day and it wasn't on any of the networks, and so you considered renting it because you didn't want to walk downstairs to put in your is that what I'm getting at? That is a level of laziness that is I love it. I relate to it on such a personal level. It's amazing.
It's not so much the laziness. It's the isolation factor of the basement. I don't feel as plugged in. The basement by myself for lengthy periods of time reminds me of a darker era of my life when I just didn't want to be around anybody. So I try not to go down there by myself too often. NFL Sunday's different, but other times I don't like to be down there alone. If Patrick's with me, that's another story, but he's over tonight. He wasn't here last night.
Okay. So, but it was going to be an easy gift for you for your birthday or Christmas if you somehow didn't own draft day.
Well, I'm still interested in the Vontae Mack jersey.
I tried. I couldn't find one.
Didn't look hard enough. I find them.
Okay. Right. Guilty as charged. Was there any move that a team made? Was there anything that stood out to you where you're like, oh, that's a problem. That's a great fit. That's the thing that like stood out for you from around the rest of the league last night?
Well, you know, going around the division, we talked at length about the Packers and what they did. No need to go over that any further. We spent a good portion of the first 90 minutes on it. I thought the Vikings showed a lot of balls and a lot of willingness to take risk at a positional need when they took Jeff Gladney, the corner out of TCU. You know, I didn't watch TCU play a lot of football, but reading a lot about this guy, he played his entire senior year with a blown out meniscus. He had surgery in the offseason, had his speed. His speed is pretty good, already back to like 4.48, but he's supposed to be the real deal at corner, which was their most glaring weakness last year. And we saw that Xavier Rhodes was picked on early and often last season, and the Vikings definitely needed to get better at corner. So I think that's a good pick for them, the 31st pick in last night's first round, a cornerback, Jeff Gladney out of TCU. Be careful with the name of that TCU, if the defensive tackle, if you want to talk about him at all today, because that's one that can get us in trouble. If the guys back at the shop don't happen to catch it and it gets on the air, because that's a bad word. It can be really, really
okay.
Bad. Yeah.
I will be very careful. I agree. I thought the Vikings was a great draft. Gladney, people who studied him said he was the third best corner in the draft. Like you said, it was a position of need. His tape was very impressive that they were showing last night and reading about him. And then Jefferson from LSU, just a monster. Like he guy catches everything, never drops a pass, line up outside in the slot, more in the slot in college, but looks like he can project to do both at the next level, and they lost Stephon Diggs. So I thought and they traded down in order to do it, so they got they got extra picks, and they got two guys who look like they could be day one starters. I was impressed with the Vikings. I thought that people say that I only praise Clemson guys. AJ Terrell, I thought, was way overdrafted. He reminded me of a corner that they had on their first title team who was drafted by the Vikings, ironically, given the conversation, Mackenzie Alexander, who was a second-round pick. Like, a fine player who played in a lot of big games, so he made plenty of big plays on national television playing for Clemson, but he got absolutely barbecued in both the playoff game and the championship game this year. He is not the most fundamentally sound. LSU just torched him repeatedly. Mm-hmm. I thought he was a second round corner, and I was shocked that the Falcons took him at 16. I thought that was a big reach for, and I mean, like, corner is clearly what teams need and are building around. Like the Dolphins taking the kid from Auburn with the 30th pick after signing Byron Jones from Dallas and already having Xavier Howard. Like, teams are loading up on corner. You can never have too many of them. So it wasn't necessarily the position for the Falcons. It was just the guy that early. I thought it was a huge reach.
And the Lions got the best corner of the night when they picked
Okuda.
Number three. Yeah, Okuda out of Ohio State, cornerback university. That's going to make them better probably. Probably a guy who's ready to play right away. Man, how about two corners in the same backfield being chosen in the first, 22 picks or something like that, the Ohio State kids?
Yes,
that's something.
Six corners in the last five first rounds from Ohio State, and they've got another one who's a lock for next year to be a first round pick. Slane, I want to say,
is
his last name. Every year, there's some program that has the night where you think, oh man, that's going to be huge for them in recruiting. And LSU had the most guys picked in the first round last night, and then having Joe Burrow go number one, obviously a great night for them. But I thought that at the beginning, when the ratings are highest of the draft, and you can say that Mm-hmm. Joe Burrow, Chase Young, and Jeff Okuda were all teammates at Ohio State at one point. First time ever teammates in college going 1-2-3. That's a pretty awesome recruiting pitch for Ohio State going forward.
Yeah, well, I tell you, Ryan Day is going to need it because he is among the college football coaches who are sitting on pins and needles in fear of losing this season. Because if there is no college football this season, he is going to lose a ton of would-be upperclassmen to the NFL, guys who are going to bolt and not want to participate in football if it's in the spring, right in advance of the NFL draft. And he is not sleeping at night as a result of it, because he's got a team that can win a national championship next year. And a lot of these guys aren't going to stick around if the draft is right around the corner. They're not going to play, because that probably is the likeliest scenario, even though none of us really like to talk about it. It seems so ominous and fatalistic, but it's realistic because they're starting to talk in those terms. College football coaches are starting to have conversations with people on their staff about the prospect of a season that runs between February and April next year, maybe February and May. That is going to do a lot of things to the NFL draft, and certainly to universities that are going to be losing tons of kids. And Ohio State, man, the corners they have produced, not just in recent years, but historically, they have produced some great cornerbacks. And one of them is the daddy of a Minnesota Golden Gopher, Antoine Winfield, who didn't even choose to go to where his dad played the college football, because Winfield, I guess, stayed in Minnesota after his playing career. That's when I start to feel really old, when Antoine Winfield and Andy Heck have kids getting drafted.
Yeah.
That's when you know you're old.
Yeah, the point about college football also, I mean, what they will do, how many of those kids, if the season gets pushed back that long, and so it's that close to when they would have to go from college football season right into a draft and then right into it, the majority of kids, I assume, will still play because they'll want to solidify their draft position and finish out their college careers. But the top guys, like, you know, obviously Trevor Lawrence from Clemson, the offensive tackle from Oregon, who's talked about as a top three pick, Justin mm-hmm. Fields, some of those players, I would think that it would be smart to not risk an injury that close to the start of your NFL career, and there will be people in their ears, and I would be among them, saying, you should just not play.
High percentage of them won't, Danny. I think high percentage of them are going to take a pass on it. Yeah, even if you're not being talked about as a first rounder, if you're a fringe first rounder, if you're a second rounder, some of those guys are going to say there's too much on the line here for me to have this football season. You know, we just lost a year. I'm entering the NFL draft.
I think that the guys, I don't know. I think the guys will enter the NFL draft, but if the draft is next April and the college football season, what months did you say you think it could be from?
February, March, and April.
So February, March, April. So the season would just run right into the draft?
Right up to the draft, yeah.
Yeah, it would be – you'd still have, you know, May, June, July, August, September. You'd still have 5-6 months before the NFL season started if you got injured. I would guess it would be less than 15 guys that would sit out the season, just because there's such a huge monetary difference still in being a first
15
pick.
Guys total.
Yeah, 15 guys total.
No,
I think most guys would still play. I think most guys would still play.
I think you'll have some schools with 8 or 10 guys who bolt. I think your LSUs, your Alabamas, your Ohio States, you as the
they
football
just don't play
factories.
The season at all.
Yeah, just take a pass on it.
I don't know, man. I don't know if enough college players have put enough on film to risk that. You know, like Trevor Lawrence clearly has, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like some guys, you know, Trevor Lawrence would have been the number one pick in this year's draft if he was eligible. So I just don't think
Think about what it's like to have a 20-year-old or a 21-year-old brain, and you have this long of a layoff. Your mind's gonna start playing tricks on you, and you might be a little bit eager than you would have been had normality been a part of your life. That's very disruptive in those young lives, and all that idle time is gonna play on some of those guys. And as you said, there's gonna be a lot of people in their ear.
There was an absurdity last night that stoked up a lot of memories for Bears fans. I got a kind of a poll question for you to go through it. I think Bears fans will remember this moment not so fondly. We'll get into it next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Score.
One night he just woke up and yelled, "Watson!" What is that? Is it a Sherlock Holmes reference or something?
No, I think that's a reference to Deshaun Watson, who the Jets passed on drafting in 2017. That's what I think that is.
From this season of Curb Your Enthusiasm, Deshaun Watson tormenting many, many fan bases, not just the Bears. That would be the New York Jets. And they picked the weed-smoking tackle from Louisville, the house of a man, Mekhi Becton. And there was all sorts of awkwardness, Mac, around the selection and the broadcast that we're going to get to in just a minute. But one of the things that came up when they were showing Mekhi Becton and his highlight was they said, you know, his 40-yard dash was incredible. And that one is always interesting to me. Like, why is a 40-yard dash left tackle a high priority? That's not something that they're going to be doing very often.
Right.
And it reminded me of other unnecessary displays of strength that are always highlighted during these little NFL draft montages. And we had some great ones last night.
Yeah, we had a pool jumping going on.
Exactly. So we had the tackle from Iowa jumping out of a pool, like Jerron Gilbert for Bears fans. We had the other dude pushing the truck. Like, the guy was just pushing. It looked like an F-150 or something.
Right.
And he was just pushing it by himself. Then we had the running the 40-yard dash for a tackle. So which is your favorite unnecessary show of strength for an NFL draft prospect? How would you rank them in terms of impressiveness if Dan McNeil was a GM?
Oh, boy. The 40-yard dash I often have felt is an overrated way to judge football talent, not just for offensive linemen, for anybody. I think it's more germane to wide receivers and corners than it is the other position, but quickness and 40 time really they're not really related. You could be very good if your first few steps are good and you're quick in your first 10 yards, you're going to be a real good football player, even if your 40 time is not impressive. So I would have to say those gadget tricks guys do, jumping out of pools, jumping up and down on boxes, those are all fun things. But as far as the actual events at the combine, I think the 40-yard dash forever has been something that's overvalued.
I agree completely. It's just It's ridiculous. Now, when they showed Isaiah Simmons racing Travis Etienne, I was like, well, that is a good way of displaying just how football fast he is. His teammate at Clemson, Travis Etienne, is one of the fastest players in college football, and Isaiah Simmons is much bigger than him. He's 240 pounds, and he is step for step with him in a foot race. Like, that is practical application on a field to show that he is a freak of nature athletically. Jumping out of a pool is like a parlor trick.
Right. My body hurts watching someone do it.
It makes no sense how someone that big can jump out of a swimming
right.
pool.
Right. That's not supposed to happen. Gravity should say otherwise. Physics.
But I will admit, it's a cool trick. When I see the video, Jerron Gilbert just stunk for other reasons. It wasn't because he could do the pool jump. Like, it's kind of a cool thing.
The pool jump.
And then the pushing of the truck, I just never know. Like, is it? I assume it's in neutral. Is it maybe a slight decline? Like, is it uphill?
It's in neutral. The car is turned off. Yeah, we used to train that way in high school in the summer. We have my buddy who was a swimmer who just partied all summer sit behind the wheel of my dad's Plymouth Fury 3. Dave, Allison, and Kevin Bowling and I just pushed the car. He sat in the driver's seat smoking a tube and drinking a six-pack, and we just pushed the car around town all summer. That's what you do when you're a teenager training for football. You push cars.
I know it's not in park. I've said
it's actually in reverse, which is really impressive.
So it could have been cheating. Yes. It could have just been in drive. You could have been faking the whole thing. You can't fake jumping out of a pool.
Yeah.
Fake pushing.
Well, the engine's off, Danny, so you're, there's.
All right. I don't know much about trucks. That might come as a big surprise to you guys. But,
or cars in general, I guess.
Or how they work. Wait, you're not. All right, whatever. Mekhi Becton back. This was, Danny and I were texting throughout the draft last night of our favorite moments of awkwardness, and this one tickled both of us.
With the 11th pick in the 2020 NFL draft, the New York Jets select Mekhi Becton, tackle, Louisville.
So the run on receivers is going to have to wait, but Mekhi Becton, ladies and gentlemen, human beings that large should not run as fast as Mekhi Becton did. At the combine, 364 pounds, ran the 40 in 5.1. According to ESPN stats and information, that's the heaviest player ever to run a sub-5 140. And if you like people just abusing other humans, the Mekhi Becton tape is for you. Why is he so big? Well, his mother is a caterer who specializes in soul food. And as you can see, Mekhi specialized in what his mom specialized in. In fact, he can do a little bit of everything. He has incredible feet. He was an amazing high school basketball player.
Well, Boog, I tell you what, I think they got the best tackle in the draft in Mekhi Becton, and somebody that when you watch how hard he's been working through this process, I know there was some concern about his weight. There's Joe Douglas there celebrating with the New York Jets with his family. I know there was some concern about his weight. I actually texted with his trainer yesterday and said, I need a proof of weight video. So he got him on the scale and showed me. He weighed 363 as of yesterday morning. So he's been able to control his weight. He's been working really hard, even some of it in unconventional fashion, as you see right here. Go get you a big truck and start driving it. And that's what he does against everybody. You watched him on tape for Louisville this fall. This is a giant of a man. This is Mount Becton, who's been brought in to protect Sam Darnold. And I can promise you, Le'Veon Bell's going to be a big fan as well.
DJ, I want to read something to you that you talk about where he's come from by his strength coach at Louisville. He said when we got him, he was about 390 pounds, and he couldn't make it through warm-ups. It was gross. We knew he had potential, but over the next 7 months, he worked his bleep off, and now you see what he's become. He is an amazing story.
Mekhi Becton, Mac, all it takes to become that big.
So we'll see what happens here.
Son of a caterer. Did you see how big his father was?
Yes, he's a very large mammal. Yeah,
he looks like he should have been the right tackle.
I have no doubt Le'Veon Bell's going to be a fan of his. They can burn together.
Yes.
Guy didn't even think of that when he said it. Le'Veon Bell's going to be a fan of this guy, no doubt. Smoke weed every day.
Smoke weed every day.
Boy, are you fat.
I don't, you know.
Proof of weight video.
I was expecting when they did the build up for his 40 time, I was expecting something off the chart amazing. While 5'1 in a 40, and by the way, it's not sub 5'1, it's 5'1, so check yourself before you're going to say it's a sub 5'1, it's the first ever sub 5'1. I'm thinking, how many 300-pound guys have busted 5 seconds before? And the first good athlete, the first guy, fat athlete, football player who came to mind was Warren Sapp. So I Googled him real fast. Warren Sapp's best 40 time was 4.69. So now he's not 360, but I thought that was effusive praise, a 5'1 40 time. That's okay. That's it doesn't need to be that much better. He's a tackle. He's not going to run 40 yards. But 5'1 is not spectacular for a 300. For that size, yes, but that's not like blazing fast.
But that's what they're talking about for someone who's 6'7", 368.
Yeah, well, it's not like he ran a 4'7".
Wait a minute. We're at a point in time where it's not impressive for a human being who's 6'7", 370 to run 40 yards in 5 seconds.
If you like people just abusing other humans, the Mekhi Becton tape is for you.
I just look at it this way, Parkins. If I ran a faster 40 in 1978 than an NFL player today, he's got a problem. Even though
but you weren't 370 pounds.
No, that's true, but I also was a high school jocko. I wasn't a pro prospect. 5'1 is not cooking. That's very good for a big guy. But that doesn't, you know, that doesn't knock me out of my chair. With the buildup that arrived before it, I was expecting them to say, man, he ran a 4.8. You wouldn't believe the 40 time. Well, how good was his 40 time? Is he running with, no, he ran a 5'1. Oh, okay. Okay.
But isn't it relative to the size of the mammal? Like, yeah, it would be if Lamar Jackson ran a 5'1, that would be very disappointing. But if Andre the Giant ran a 5'1, it'd be fairly terrifying.
I get that. It's just 5'1 is not what you would call lightning. We'll agree to disagree on this.
Okay. Yeah, all right. I thought he was I'm rooting for him.
I don't root against him. I just am not as knocked out by the rest of the world with a 5'1 40 time, despite his 360-ness.
Despite his 360. Hey, okay. Son of a caterer. He likes to abuse people. And he was once described as gross. I'm listening to this. I'm like, damn, this is all just so harsh on Mekhi Becton. But he was what, 11th overall to the Jets? It was there were a lot of large humans selected. It was a tackle-rich environment last night. But your guy still on the board for the Chicago Bears tonight. That's your top priority, right, Josh Jones?
Yeah, I may hit my head on the ceiling if the Bears call Josh Jones's name at 43 tonight. I hope that he's there for them, so they have to make that decision. If they take the other tackle, who's the other, there's a kid from out west who's also expected to go in these first 15 picks of the second round.
I don't know anything.
Take me a DB, whether it's a corner or a safety, take me a DB to get your secondary better and give me an offensive lineman. That's it. You know, the only thing that would upset me, I think, tonight is if the Bears went running back at 43. That would upset me.
I would be so surprised if they did that. I think you might be talking about Ezra Cleveland, the tackle from Boise, as one of the other offensive linemen who still is on the board. I think it's going to be secondary. I think that they are going to take maybe Jalen Johnson, the corner from Utah. Delpit, the safety from LSU, had a ton of huge plays. I assume Xavier McKinney from Alabama, the safety, will be gone. No safeties were selected in the first round. So if you go by positional value, the best safety, it's not as important of a position, but like no tight end has been selected, no safety has been selected. Mm-hmm. So Ryan Pace, instead of taking the 8th or 9th corner, might be able to get the 1st or 2nd safety, which might come in as a deciding factor for a team that's lost Prince Amukamara this year and Adrian Amos last year. So they got Fuller and they have Eddie Jackson and then a bunch of guys who at this point are just guys. So I would guess secondary, but They need a lot of things. They need a lot of help. I also think
those
trade
two picks, yeah, one of those two picks is going to be a secondary player. It has to be.
Yeah, I agree.
Right? It has
to be. I think so.
If they keep both of them and don't draft a safety or a corner in round two, that's going to be a problem for a lot of Bears fans.
Well, and it just wouldn't make sense. Like, all of these teams are doing best player available at a position of need. So, like, Antoine Winfield, the kid from Minnesota, whoever Ryan Pace likes most, it's just such a glaring need at a spot where a starter can come in. Like, now, starters come in and they can be fourth, fifth round guys. We saw it with Adrian Amos. If you're looking for a strong safety, a box safety, you don't need to use a high pick on it. But especially at corner, they need bodies, and they need to invest in resources at that position in the worst way. We got a huge draft special coming up for people tonight at 6 o'clock. You should be locked in as we're broadcasting from the Hyundai Score Studios, and that broadcast brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers as well. But coming up next, a big-time Chicago sports anniversary that deserves to be celebrated before Mark Grody at 5 o'clock on the Score.
Here's Sokol twirling around behind with it for the Blackhawks. Galloping off the last bit of time, they've killed off the penalty. Bowling back, Sokol, a drive, skipped in front, score! It was Hossa at the side of the net. This is 3-2, Chicago.
Marian Hossa jumps on the ice after serving that five-minute boarding call. The shot from the point. Look at Marian Hossa standing right to the right of Pekka and the reaction. Sokol started it. Hossa finishes it. And Chicago wins in overtime.
It was 10 years ago this afternoon, almost to the minute, when the Blackhawks had their most improbable and perhaps most important first-round playoff victory in a game in any series in franchise history. Marian Hossa's game winner over the Predators in Game 5 at the United Center, giving the Hawks a 5-4 win and giving them a 3-2 lead in the series. Otherwise, they go back to Nashville, trailing in that series, and they did not play always very well down in Nashville. So that was one of the most memorable moments of the first of the recent three cups, Parkins. And I don't think I ever have been at a sporting event that was it was on the same par with Paul Konerko's Grand Slam off Chad Qualls in 2005 at U.S. Cellular Field. It was that exciting. Patrick Kane scoring the game-tying goal with 13.5 seconds left in regulation while the Hawks were skating 5-on-5 with no goaltender. The host is in the box with that five-minute major, Eddie Olczyk described, and he beats Pekka wide side, and then the Hossa gets the game winner in overtime. Just a dramatic victory. That was the on-ramp to Cup number one in the 2010 season. Happy birthday, Hawks fans.
Just such an iconic game, and when you go back and watch the highlights of it, and there's one on NBC Sports Chicago with Marian Hossa doing some narration of the video, and there's just a cool angle of Hossa getting out of the penalty box, and it feels like it's happening in slow motion, and it's just perfect. It's like, okay, they've been shorthanded for all of this time. Like you said, Kane gets the game-tying goal with 13.6 left because they pulled the goalie, but it's a shorty to tie it up. And then it's just, he skates right to the net, and Sokol and Bolin, they get the puck on net, and it's just there for him, and it was as easy as, like, you could have put it in. Like, it was just perfect. It was like everything was going against them. It seemed so improbable that they were even there. It was desperation. It was tense. And then the winner just could not have been easier. And it seemed like a totally surreal thing, a truly memorable moment in a sea of memorable ones for the Hawks dynasty. It's like you think of, you know, we were talking with Doc Emmerich about Kane and the game winner for a cup and not seeing it go in the net. It's oftentimes when your team wins a title, you think about the moments from the World Series, from the NBA Finals, from the Stanley Cup Finals. That was just a quarterfinal game. It wasn't a clincher, but that's a memorable moment for everyone.
Yeah, and dude, the anxiety a lot of us felt, because that was supposed to be the year. That was the year when it was all happening, and there was so much anxiety because they came out and dropped the first game in the series at home, and Nashville was matching them shift for shift. In fact, they were out shooting the Hawks in almost every game in the series, but Antti Niemi stood on head, posted two shutouts, wasn't great in Game 5, which we celebrate today. One of those four Predators' goals was on a penalty shot. I think Martin Erat, if I remember my 2010 Predators roster correctly, David Legwand, Ryan Suter, Shea Weber, those were the guys. Jordan 2-2 for Barry Trotz, but yeah, I think it'd be a great day to play the Hossa song. I think that would get people excited, at least the Hawks fans who miss Marian Hossa and who look back at some of these cup memories with fondness. I think
great
the Hossa song would Les approves, yeah.
Ask for it here. Let's do it. Let's go, Hossa.
He came from Detroit trying to win us a crown. Unlike Probert, he won't snort up the town and all the cola. C-O-L-A, cola. He walked up to Dale with his shoulder a mess. He said, I'll work hard and by December I will dress.
My name is Hossa.
H-O-S-S-A, Hossa. Ho-ho-ho-ho-Hossa.
Out up to Hossa.
Skates real strong, a pretty physical guy. He moves the puck and puts it between the pipes.
Yeah, he is Hossa.
Ho, 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 Hossa. Well, the Hawks have the city's most passionate fans. We know we had good boys, now we've got a man.
We have Hossa.
Ho, 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 Hossa. Ho, 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 Hossa.
Here's Campbell, a shot. It is a rebound. Hossa scores. It bounced right into the midsection of Marian Hossa.
I'll watch him today. I want him to score. It's him we adore. He kills all the penalties. Then he makes a move and scores with ease. And that's the way that I want him to play. I always want him in Kane and Taves.
He's my Hossa.
Ho, 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 Hossa. Hawks become wings and wings become hawks. It's a mixed up, muddled up, shook up world.
Except for Hossa.
Ho, 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 Hossa. Ho, 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 Hossa.
Hossa.
On the 10-year anniversary, 10-year anniversary of Game 5 of the quarterfinals against Nashville.
Right, like old.
I got chills. I got chills. I may go run a 5-1-40 tonight.
Yeah, right.
40 feet.
The guy who always makes us in a little bit better of a mood. Now he knows that Aaron Rodgers loves the fugitive almost as much as him. Moby Ditka, Mark Grody, next on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.